Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Next Fan Up, the podcast by the fans for the fans. I'm Justin, your Seahawks superfan. My team will not be participating in the Super Bowl, and I'm here with James, the Texans superfan. Guess what? His team's not participating either. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing well. My stadium, however, will be participating in the Super Bowl, so that's something, right?
Yeah, we'll probably actually see a fair share of Texans here and there as they attend the game, probably ownership, all that sorts of stuff. Real quick, just so everybody knows, we are not going to be talking about the Pro Bowl on this show, so if that's what you're looking for, find somewhere else. I'll be honest, frankly, I don't think either James and I care that much about the Pro Bowl. Although I got a bunch of players on there. How many players you got on the Pro Bowl roster this year, James?
I believe just the one. I know Clowney backed out because of his knee surgery. So I really should check that. I basically don't want any of my players to be on the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, there's no upside. You might get tight end from Cincinnati. What's his name?
Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, you might get a bad case of the Tyler Eifert. All right, so on today's show, we're going to be talking about Super Bowl betting. James is going to explain to us what different types of bets are, because if you're anything like me, you don't have a great grasp of that sort of thing, and there's a lot of betting you can do. We're also going to talk about some of the fun prop bets. And this is honestly, if you want to make the Super Bowl even more entertaining, especially if your team is not involved, this is a great way to do it. A lot of people are familiar with a few of them, you know, who's going to win the coin toss, is there going to be a flub in the national anthem? Trust me, there is a lot of things you can bet on. And if you're having a Super Bowl party with a lot of people who aren't super into the game, and they are those I'm just here for the commercials jerks, this is a great way to get them to have a little bit of fun. So, James, let's go ahead and right off the bat, let's talk about some of the different kinds of gambling you can do. You want to walk us through some of that?
Well, I mean, if you're just talking like at an individual Super Bowl party, you kind of hit the nail on the head, or you're real close to it. If you just Google like the Friday before the game, like Super Bowl prop bet sheet, there's a couple of services out there that'll put together a list of anywhere from 25 to 50 of the most common Super Bowl props. If you're headed to a Super Bowl party, print out, you know, 15, 20 of them, and just stand there and say, hey, everybody want to kick in, you know, $5, $10. And everybody just kind of fills them out. At the end of the day, the same website that puts out those prop bets will put out a cheat sheet for how each one of those bets goes. You fill them all out, and then you could do like a winner take all, a top three. It's a lot of fun. It gets people engaged, and it's not all football bets on these. So typically the first one is going to be, you know, is the national anthem going to go over 2 minutes, 9 seconds or under? Is the, you know, coin toss going to be heads or tails? And then for the people that are into football, you'll get a couple of them that are in there, like, you know, Julio Jones over under 110 receiving yards. And then typically the tiebreaker will be like who the Super Bowl MVP was. So that's a really good way to get people that aren't super interested necessarily in the game to at least, you know, get a little bit of their money in the pot and maybe go for some of your own. Another fun way to do that as well is just everybody's kind of for themselves. Everybody kind of plays as their own bank. And in that case, you know, what my acquaintances and I do is we'll say, okay, I got a dollar that says the next commercial is going to be an Anheuser-Busch commercial. Everybody throws in a dollar. Somebody might pick Kia or Ford or, you know, the next big movie trailer, whatever the case may be. And whenever that commercial comes up, whoever commercial comes first, they take the pot. You could say something like, you know, this drive is going to have over 2.5 first downs, and then some people can take the under on that. So, I mean, just throw some stuff out there. You'll be amazed how many degenerate gamblers there are out there, and you'll be amazed at how many people that aren't fans of football will suddenly want to hop in on that, on those games.
Yeah, that's what I did last year. Is I had a little Super Bowl party, and we kind of made up prop bets as we went. So right before commercial break, we would say something like, all right, who's taking money that there's going to be a baby in the first commercial, things like that. It's a lot of fun, especially once you start to have a couple of drinks. And you know, really, that's what it's all about, is having a good time. So let's talk a little bit about what exactly how we go about, you know, picking our props. You know, if you are actually, you know, going to try and make a little bit of money on a prop bet, James, what should you be looking for?
So there's a couple of different ways to go about it. First off, you know, you've got the offshore betting. If you're Outside of the States, that's definitely a very legal option. I know most countries are a lot more liberal in their ability to bet on things. If you are in Vegas, they're going to put up a whole bunch of props on there. And typically what I do is I try and figure out how the game is going to go or how I think the game is going to go. And then, you know, I bet accordingly. So like we did this last year and a lot of us were saying, you know, Carolina is getting a lot of credit. It puts a lot of value on the Denver Broncos. And so you would see like the Denver Broncos plus 6.5, you were basically getting even money on, you know, that's more of a standard spread, but then you could go even further. And I believe Sam, the Giants super fan, he took as one of his prop bets that the Denver Broncos would win by 14 to 17 points. And then that was going to pay out at like plus 700. And, you know, so he definitely had the, for lack of a better term, narrative on how he felt the game was going to go. He thought it was going to be a defensive struggle, you know, last year. And so you start picking up on a lot of defensive bets. This year, everybody's thinking it's going to be a big offensive showdown. That means that if you want to bet the higher offensive totals, like this is the highest the over-under has ever been set for the Super Bowl, you don't get quite as much value, but also you don't get quite as much fun, in my opinion, because nobody really likes to sit there when the game is, you know, the over-under is like 60.5 right now. Do you really want to be the guy that's out at the 31-28 game with, you know, one team driving with 2 minutes left saying, please don't score, please don't score. I got, you know, 50 bucks riding on the under.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if that's, you know, if you're rooting for like the opposite team, then your wallet's betting against your heart, which I could certainly see happening. So what are you, what are some of the props that you like then?
Well, one of the ones that I like out there right now, you've got, well, either the quarterbacks break the passing record, for the Super Bowl. And right now that's, 415 yards. And so yes is going to pay you about 4-1 and no is going to get you, I should probably start with, you know, what the plus 400 and like minus 105 UC are.
Oh, yeah. I know when I pull up, you know, some of these betting websites, that's what I see is, you know, it's not, I don't see a bunch of things that say bet this and are you betting for this against this? It's like, it just, it'll say like Tom Brady and then it has a number next to it. What the heck does plus 140 mean?
Right. So anytime you see a plus number, it's all based on whether or not you're going to either bet or win $100. So if you see a plus like 170, if I lay down $100 and that bet pays off or I win that bet, I get my $100 back, obviously, and then I get an additional 170 on top of it. And so anytime you see a plus sign, you basically divide that number by 100. So if you see like plus 300, you're getting paid 3-1. Plus 1,000, you're getting paid 10-1. The flip side is the minus, and that's a little counterintuitive. For that, it means if you want to win $100, you have to bet $200. So if you see like a minus 200, it's not quite as easy to do as far as the ratios go. You just have to know that if I want to win $100 on that bet, I'm putting down 200. So you're basically, it's 2-1 against at that point.
Got it. So if something is plus 15,000, just pulling an example off of a sheet I'm looking at, that means if I bet $100 and I hit on that, that's 15 G's plus my $100 back.
Exactly. You know, you got to, you definitely have to account for that $100 when you're pulling down 15 large.
That's right. That's not bad. So then, I assume then is when it comes to the bets that you like, you're looking for things not only that you think you're right about, but things that'll be worth spending some money on.
Right. So, I mean, a lot of the stuff you'll see out there, you know, the coin flip, you know, that's the definition of a 50-50 proposition. You see minus 105 on both sides of that. You know, the house has to make their money somewhere.
Now, I have it on good authority that tails never fails.
Well, you know, that is a strong position. And if you want to bet $105 on that particular proposition, you stand to make 100 American dollars back on that. But I mean, that's just kind of the example of how the house makes its money. It's sometimes called the juice, sometimes called the vig. And usually if you bet both sides of a wager, you're guaranteed to lose about, if you bet $100 on both sides, you're guaranteed to lose $10. And that's just kind of the house's cut. So I look for ones there that I don't have to lay down too much. You know, like I was mentioning this, neither quarterback will break the passing record. Looking back at their games, they played a combined about 32 games, including the playoffs so far. For some reason, Tom Brady didn't play the first four games. I'm not entirely sure why. but they only, between the two of them, they only went over 415 yards once all season. And so you look at that plus 400 and it's like, yeah, it's going to be a high scoring game. They're going to be going up and down the field. But that 4-1 money on that is not a great value. I like the underside on that, again, not to be kind of the killjoy, but to get that killjoy pick out of it and out of there, in the first place. The other thing that I really like on, kind of looking at back at past Super Bowls, in the past 9 Super Bowls, there have only been 3 that have been decided by more than 7 points. All 3 of those games had Peyton Manning at the quarterback spot. I don't see Peyton Manning playing this game. And so what a bet that I'm going to make, actually, it's a pair of bets. And what's kind of weird is I'm guaranteed to lose one of them. And I'm okay with that because of the odds that I'm getting. And so the 2 bets that I'm going to make together is the Patriots are going to win by either 1 through 6 points inclusive. And that's going to give me $350 for every $100 that I bet. So plus 3.5 or plus 350. And I'm also going to bet the other side where the Falcons win by 1 to 6 points. And that's going to actually pay out plus 450. So naturally, I'm going to be a Falcons fan here for this particular bet. But basically, I'm laying down $200. And if the game is within 6 points, I'm either going to win 350 if the Patriots win, or I'm going to win the 450 if the Falcons win. You take out my $200, or you take out my $100 that I lost, and those are some pretty good odds, in my opinion.
Yeah, that actually that's some smart strategy right there. And so as long as it's close, which they looks like they always are, you're going to come out ahead. That makes a lot of sense. What else are you going to be looking for as far as like what are bets that you like in here?
So the refs typically swallow their whistles in playoff games. That's kind of an unwritten rule. Both of these teams are actually pretty well disciplined, you know, down towards the bottom as far as penalties allowed this or penalties against this year. And so I found an under 12.5 total penalties for the game. And it's going to cost me a little bit of money to make it. It's a minus 125 bet, but I think that's a very sound investment.
So if you're going to go into the minus, you're looking for something that you feel real confident about then.
Yeah, definitely has to be real confident about it. That or just it's a really fun one. There's another one coming up that's even further in the negative, but I got to make it. That's Rob Ninkovich over 2.5 combined tackles and assists. I mean, that's a pretty safe one. It seems kind of random. I am a Purdue alum. Rob Ninkovich is a Purdue alum. So I'm going to be cheering for him and getting over 2.5 tackles and assists. That's at minus 150. Again, not a great value, but for a defensive player in a game that should be relatively high scoring, and with relatively high scoring games, you're going to get a lot of offensive plays, which means you're going to get a lot of defensive counting stats.
I got it. So if you see Rob Ninkovich get carted off after the very first play, that loud swearing you hear is coming from James.
Yes, and that's one of the really bad things, because there's no real way to bake in injury possibilities. Coming up with another actually fun one, I'm going to do a parlay. And so that's when you basically tie 2 bets together. And if either one of them loses, the entire bet loses, but you get slightly better odds by combining these 2. And so the 2 that I'm going to combine up, both Matt Ryan and Tom Brady are going to go over 25.5 completions in the game. And so if I would take either one of them individually, I'd have to pay 125 in order to win 100. But since I'm betting on both of them to happen, I'm actually going to get plus 225 on my bet there.
Wow. That seems like it's almost automatic too, given these 2 teams.
It definitely should be. It would be definitely in the bottom quarter of either one of their games for that to happen. And so, you know, it watch it come down to this big defensive matchup, and you know, you got Tevin Coleman against Deion Lewis just grinding it out. But I'm pretty confident that Matt Ryan and Tom Brady are going to be slinging the ball a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny, during the regular season, it always feels like these games that everybody's like, oh, these are going to be the biggest shootout ever, always end up being like final score 7-5 or something ridiculous.
Yes, I think that happened this year with the Falcons and the Saints in one of their matches up.
Like, you know, if somebody put the over under at 100, I would be really tempted to take the over in that situation. Instead, they just had a combined like 18 points or something stupid.
Yeah, but 2 weeks to prepare, everybody's going to be relatively healthy. These teams haven't met since 2013, I don't think. You know, Belichick does have a good history of slowing down, you know, historically great offenses. You see what he did to win their first Super Bowl against the Rams. You know, and the Falcons are coming in on kind of the same historically great offense. You know, hopefully it'll work out a little bit differently for the Falcons than it did for the Rams, in more ways than one. In fact, they're, you know, Falcons do have a move at the end of the season. However, they're just moving across the parking lot to their new stadium as opposed to across several time zones.
All right, so I'm going to levy one right here, and I want to know what you think. So, you know, one of the things you can bet on is who's going to be the very first person to score a touchdown. This one's interesting because the one they consider the most likely, the one that will pay the least out, is anybody other than these, like, 15 names that they name, right? Behind that, they have Julian Edelman. I really kind of like the tight end for Atlanta, Levine Toilolo. $100 bet would pay out $3,300, right? So, you know, there's not a ton of risk there necessarily. And, you know, just as sort of my football evaluation mind, you know, I look at the Patriots and their defense, and I think, you know, they like to take away what you do well, which means that I see, you know, the Falcons having to go more towards, like, second and third options more so than before. And Toilolo, who only had a couple touchdowns all year, usually gets a couple of targets per game. And I just see, just given those odds, man, I feel like that one is, you know, there's an elevated chance for that to hit relative to the value there. So what do you think of a bet like that?
Oh, I love bets like that. And especially because, I mean, you obviously you can put 100 down to win 3,300. The other fun thing is, you know, if you just want to put down 10 bucks on a couple of players, like you could pick out Toilolo, you could pick out, say, Danny Amendola, and I don't know, you got James White. So you got three guys right around, you know, 20 to 1 odds, with, you know, Toilolo up at 33 to 1. So we just throw down, you know, 10, 15 bucks on each one of them. You know, it's a lot like playing Keno at that point. So you're just trying to hit as many numbers as possible. Wow, going real deep in my degenerate gambling lexicon if I'm pulling out Keno.
Hey, man, I saw a lot of Keno when I was a young child. That's probably not a fun fact. All right, but I'm going to digress a little bit because we're on the topic. That reminds me of the last time I went to Vegas. And I was completely flat broke, out of money. So the only thing I could do while I waited for the shuttle to take me to the airport was play the penny slots. And I was so broke, I was playing them for a penny at a time, just to entertain myself, because they bring you free drinks. And I hit a jackpot. And when you hit a jackpot, when you're betting a penny on a penny slot, all the lights go off, just like on any other machine. There's this big hullabaloo. And then you win something like $8, which was both incredible and embarrassing at the same time. But some of these bets kind of seem like that. Like, so I could put $10 down for Eric Weems, and if for some ridiculous reason he scores the first touchdown, which doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever that that's even a possibility, you'd win $660. That's kind of hilarious.
Oh, yeah. There's some really fun ones. And I mean, what's kind of overlooked is at one point, you know, in the preseason, Atlanta was 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. And so, you know, you throw down a $20 or, you know, $50 bet just because you're an Atlanta homer. And, you know, now you're looking at the game and it's like, well, it takes on a little bit more meaning.
Yeah. Somewhere, Tim is, excitedly, salivating over his preseason bet. I'm sure going to buy the finest hair products money can buy after this is over. So we've talked a little bit about kind of your standard stuff, right? You know, first touchdown scored. We talked a little bit about the coin toss because everybody knows that. What about some of those bets we kind of alluded to before that don't have a whole lot to actually do with football?
Yes, and so these are ones that you will never find in Vegas, and that's just because of the definition that, you know, Vegas has to, or the rules that Vegas has to play by. Basically, it has to fall on the field of play and has to be quantifiably verified. And so basically, if it's a stat on NFL.com, you can bet on it. But some of the things that we talked about earlier, like, you know, the duration of the national anthem, you know, you could bet on what color Gatorade is going to be dumped on, you know, the winning coach. You could bet on what the first song that Lady Gaga is going to sing is going to be. There's a bunch of fun ones to go out there. You know, other ones that are good are, you know, how many times will Deflate or Deflategate be mentioned during the broadcast? You know, that's actually looking pretty solid right now. It's over under 1.5. And the over is actually at like plus 115, and that seems that seems ridiculous. That you know they're going to be mentioning Deflategate several times, especially if the Patriots are up in the fourth quarter.
Oh, guaranteed, absolutely. And I look at some of these, and like, and some of these are like cross sport prop bets. So like, here's one which is basically, you know, you have to choose which side is going to be higher, and the odds are even across both of them. But what's going to be higher, Julio Jones receiving yards, or the amount of points the Boston Celtics score? Things like that, I think, are hilarious and quite a bit of fun. I don't know basketball well enough to bet on that one, but that one seems like a pretty entertaining one.
Oh yeah, those are fun, and then those you can actually do in Vegas as long as they are between two verifiable sports. So I mean, it's you know, that's basically you're kind of betting the over at the same time at you're betting two overs, or you're betting an over and an under at that point, and those can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I'm thinking, James. Let's grab a couple of these kind of stupid prop bets. We can grab some serious ones if you want, and let's each pick a couple of sides. I'll write it down, and we'll see who comes on top in some of these ridiculous prop bets. What do you think of that?
That sounds great.
All right. So do you have the list open in front of you?
I do.
Let's just take turns picking them. And so why don't you pick the first one, and I'll just take the opposite side of whichever you take.
Okay. I'll say the first down is by the Atlanta Falcons.
All right. So first down is by the Falcons. So what are the odds on that one?
Let's see here. Falcons have it at minus 105, and then the Pats are at minus 115.
Yeah, I was going to say that those odds should basically be the same as the coin toss. In the case of the Falcons, they are. So I think you're definitely taking the better side of that. I want to go with how many times will J.J. Watt be mentioned on TV during live broadcast? All right, so here's the bet. Is it over or under one? And I'm taking the over. I think there's a 100% chance he'll be in the crowd, and a 100% chance we'll see him pop up at least twice. So I'm going to go over one J.J. Watt mentions.
You know, I will concede that one. I'll take the under one, or I guess I'll take one or under in that case. He's getting mentioned at least once. That's a fun one there.
All right, your turn.
All right, so I'm going to take that between Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, they will mention the betting line or the underdog during the game.
All right, and so is that just a yes or no?
That is just a yes or no. I'm saying yes, they will. So they could mention the line of the game, which currently sits at 3.5, or they could mention the over-under. And I'm going to say yes, they're going to mention one of those two.
All right. So you're going to take that. I'm going to make the next one just a little bit more standard football-y. Will a special team or a defensive touchdown be scored? Just period. I'm going to go with yes, which is plus 170. I feel like there's a really high likelihood of that happening, particularly by the Patriots. And so give me the plus 170 on that one for sure.
Yeah, that's not quite as good as odds as what you've been able to get in the past. The past several Super Bowls have had, you know, a disproportionately high amount of those special teams and defensive touchdowns. You know, it has a lot to do with, you look at the past Super Bowl teams and you have, like, you know, Denver, the Seahawks, you know, these real high octane defenses. And so I think you're not getting quite as good a value as you normally would. That's a lot like, will a safety be recorded in the game? We've had three or four safeties in the past 6 years or so. And so that odds have been deflated a little bit over time, but no, I could definitely see that, but I will take the no just to keep up my anti-fun stance.
All right. So what's the next one you're taking?
I'm going to take that a 2-point conversion will be attempted. That's at a measly plus 110, but I like that. I like that a lot. It's fun to cheer for those.
And man, that one seems almost like a given in today's NFL.
Well, I mean, you've got, I would say with Belichick, you've got a much better likelihood of that. Dan Quinn doesn't seem to be too outside the box as far as his play calling goes and his approach to the game. So if we see it, I think we're going to get it from the Patriots side.
All right, speaking of the Patriots side, so I'm going to take one where I'm taking the boring side, but I'm just so certain. So, will a flea flicker be attempted in the game? And I'm going to go with no. And yes, I understand that's no at minus 900, but I'm really, really confident that there's going to be no flea flicker. If for no other reason than the Patriots did one in the previous game, so I don't think there's any chance that they're going to repeat it, and I've never seen the Falcons attempt one.
See, now the Patriots and Hoodie are just in your head, man. You know, they're like, oh, well, we showed them this look last game. There's no chance we're showing them this look in this game. And it's
oh, God,
you know,
am I getting Jedi mind tricked?
You might be getting Jedi mind tricked.
Oh, no.
I might have to take the over 1.5 flea flickers just to see what the odds are on that. All right. Well, I'm going to do a – I'm going to try and find the one that I had before. I'm going to say the longest successful field goal in the game. And it's going to over 47.5 yards. I'm thinking inside the dome there, down in Houston, you're going to get some guy who's just going to between Matt Bryant and Stephen Gaskowski, you're going to get somebody to attempt something over 47.5.
All right, so you're taking the yes on that one, and you know what? I feel good about that for no other fact than I don't see either team stalling outside of that range very much. Okay, so this one I think is about as easy as it gets. And I'm kind of taking the coward's way out again. Who will be mentioned first after kickoff on the broadcast? Dan Quinn or Bill Belichick? That's got to be the easiest money ever going Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah. If for no other reason, I mean, they might accidentally say, do you ever think Dan Quinn would meet Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl? I mean, that's possibly the only way around it.
And the crazy part is they're both getting minus 120. So as far as they're concerned, there's equal odds of both, and that's just silly to me.
Yeah, that's a bit off. So one of the other things, how about this for our little game here? Super Bowl 51 MVP. So obviously there's a whole slew of players to pick from. You know, anywhere from Tom Brady and Matt Ryan, they're at plus 140 and plus 250 respectively, you know, all the way out to your Levine Toilolo at plus 15,000. So
that early touchdown will be the only score in the game. And therefore he'll be MVP.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm making fun of you a little bit, but my boy Rob Ninkovich is right there at plus 15,000 as well. So, I don't know if you've got the numbers in front of you. What if we pick out, say, three each? And give the odds. So I'll let you go ahead and go first. As far as you can have the honor on picking the first Super Bowl MVP.
Ooh, all right. So since I have the first pick, you know, I'm not gonna do the most obvious thing and go with a quarterback, even though that seems the most likely. Go ahead and give me Julio.
Okay, so Julio's sitting there at 9-1. That's yep. Pretty good value. I'm going to shy away from the wide receivers just for the reason that they always look for an excuse to give the MVP to a quarterback. So, I mean, if Julio goes out and has like two touchdowns and 200 yards, you know, there's a very good possibility of Matt Ryan sitting there at, you know, having broken the Super Bowl passing record at like 450 and four. Then it's going to be tough to pass up Matt Ryan for that MVP. But all that being said, I am going to go with Devonta Freeman at plus 1600, so 16-1.
Yeah, and that I can definitely see. You know, if the Falcons win and the Patriots do their, you know, take away what you do best, which in that case would be Julio, they'll have to have Devonta Freeman have a huge game. So That seems perfectly reasonable to me. For my second one, though, I am going to I'm going to go with the tight end Martellus Bennett. This kind of plays into what you're saying before, where, you know, if there's a bunch of receiving touchdowns, they'll probably give it to the quarterback. But you know, Bennett's played really, really well, but he hasn't been like a giant touchdown machine. But the Falcons don't do well against tight ends typically this year, and I can see him having a big day, especially without Rob Gronkowski on the field.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you look at the passing game, you look at the odds that you're getting there, and that's definitely a very good value for a guy that could easily be in consideration.
Yeah, plus 5,000. I mean, that's it. You know, I'm no expert on gambling like you, but that seems like good money right there.
Oh yeah, I mean, and you could see Martellus Bennett getting that with, you know, three catches, right? So I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he against the Rams last year, I believe, when he was still with the Bears. I mean, he had a single 80-yard catch for a touchdown, and then he followed up later that game with, you know, like a little 5-yard, you know, touchdown. So, you know, don't quote me on the yardages there, but I mean, you have two receiving touchdowns, 100 yards receiving, and meanwhile, you could do all that with Tom Brady just putting up pedestrian numbers elsewhere.
All right, who's your next pick?
So when you said Martellus Bennett, it had me a little nervous because he's right below the other guy I was going to get. I'm actually going to lock down the Atlanta backfield and pick up Tevin Coleman, who he's out there at 40-1. You know, you can get Tevin Coleman, you know, a similar style to like Deion Lewis, and Deion Lewis is only at 16-1 right now. I mean, sure, you have Devonta Freeman to contend with, but you know, Atlanta's done a very good job spreading the ball around. And on top of that, going back in the games, it always looks like one guy, if he gets rolling in the game, they have no issue leaning on that guy for the rest of the game. So if Tevin Coleman would get a quick score in the first quarter, you know, he might just muscle Devonta Freeman out of the backfield.
Yeah, I like that pick. Unfortunately for me, that was very strategic. So I think that does you well. I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball, though. I think that, you know, the winning side, if this isn't just a crazy shootout, a lot of credit is going to go to the defense. And of all the defensive players, I think the most likely MVP on either side is probably Vic Beasley of the Atlanta Falcons. You know, if he can get after the quarterback a couple of times, you know, maybe pick up a fumble or, you know, have a tipped ball go into his hands. I think that he's got a shot at it, assuming the Falcons win in a lower scoring game than what people are predicting. And at plus 5,000, I mean, you know, here, have 10 bucks. Oh, I'll take $500 back. That seems fine to me.
Yeah, exactly right. So for my third, I was also, we did not talk about this beforehand. I'm also going to go with a defensive player. I'm going to go slightly longer odds, though. I'm going to go with New England's Malcolm Butler. So he's at 66, plus 6,600. You know, as far as dart throws go, there's worse ones out there. And typically, if it turns into a defensive struggle like it did with the Seahawks, as I recall, you know, Seattle defense or one of the defensive players got the trophy, and you know, he made a couple of plays, but I mean, he wasn't like a standout performer in that particular Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not sure about any Super Bowls involving Malcolm Butler. That must escape my memory. He sounds like a great kid though, so I wish him all the best. Moving on from my depression, I want to go with something a little bit different, and I'm going to do this because I think you will at some point, and that's I'm going to take the field. I'm going to take so they name what 3, 6, 9, 12. They name about 30 players, so about a quarter of all the players they name. So at plus 2,500, I'm going to say it's not anybody that they named. And actually, you kind of mentioned like the Seahawks, and that was one of my inspirations. You know, when Malcolm Smith won MVP, nobody had him on anybody's list. I feel like you know, there's just so many players and so many factors. You could do worse than to pick the I have absolutely no idea option.
Oh no, that's fair. Yeah, they've got 31 players named out of 106 possible. So I mean, even the kickers are on there. So I mean, it's a pretty deep list. I mean, for my last one, I'm gonna go kind of in a similar vein to why you picked Martellus Bennett. I'm gonna pick Danny Amendola. You know, I could have gotten him. I could have gotten or Chris Hogan at 20. You know, Chris Hogan is at plus 2,500. Meanwhile, Danny Amendola is at plus 15,000. So, you know, it's not anything that I expect to have hit. But I mean, yeah, I'll put $10 on there to win 1,500 on the off chance that Danny Amendola makes it through an entire game.
All right, so we've made our bets with each other. But you know, if I parachute you into Vegas right now, with a sack with a big dollar sign on the front, and you have to put it down on an MVP to try and win as much money as you can. Who would be your smart bet for MVP?
Well, I mean, I mean, the smartest bet is obviously going to be one of the quarterbacks. I mean, Brady, they're basically going to look for a reason to give him the MVP. You know, having been there so much, the whole wanting to stick it to the commissioner. I mean, that's why he's at plus 140 on this board. Matt Ryan, you're at plus 250. You know, he's played lights out this whole season.
Potentially the league MVP.
Yeah, potentially the league MVP. And between the two quarterbacks, I think there's a better value in Matt Ryan. Just because for the Falcons to win this game, they're going to have to put up some pretty big numbers, and that's going to run through Matt Ryan. If you want like an actual value play, I'd look at one of the running backs. You know, between LeGarrette Blount and Deion Lewis, you know, the Patriots typically will rely on one running back. That's why if you play playoff fantasy football, it's never a bad idea to just stash LeGarrette Blount onto your, you know, if they're playing the Indianapolis Colts, and he's going to get you, you know, 200 yards and three touchdowns. They're both at plus 1600. You know, that's not a horrible bet to make on the off chance that this doesn't turn into a shootout and you just need some, you know, running back that gets, you know, 100, 150 yards and two touchdowns for you. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to have happen in this game.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about for my list. And, you know, of the two, you know, I do really like the odds for LeGarrette Blount. I mean, you know, just sort of your common wisdom. The Patriots have a pretty stout defense. And Belichick, you can say a lot of things about him, but he's no dummy. And so, you know, that classic play good defense and grind it out formula is tried and true. And it's been around for so long for a reason. And, you know, your grinder is LeGarrette Blount. So I could see this being a game where they just basically slam LeGarrette Blount into them over and over and over again. It's not like you're saving him for another game after this. And so I think he has his chances of being MVP, I think, are much, much greater than those, you know, than that plus 1600 or those 16-1 odds would indicate. I think he's actually got a realistic shot at it.
I mean, would you say he has more than a puncher's chance at it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, as long as, you know, maybe the odds are reflecting the chance that you never know if he'll get, you know, pulled over and arrested for a DUI right before the game.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be a fun game regardless. And if you can't decide between like LeGarrette Blount and Deion Lewis, they're plus 1600. You could do the exact same thing that I was doing with, you know, the Patriots. I mean, bet both sides. You know, Patriots win by 1-6 is plus, you know, plus 350, like I talked about. Falcons win by 1-6 is plus 450. These are even big, you know, even greater odds. You know, they're plus 1600. You throw $200 down if one of them hit, or, you know, $100 on each. If one of them hits, you know, you're still up $1,600.
Yeah. So that, and I think that's the thing that even, you know, people like me who maybe know just a little bit about the gambling don't always understand or wrap their head around the fact that you don't necessarily have to pick one thing off the list. You can kind of, you know, do some math, add some things up. You, of course, are the official numbers guy of the next Fan Out podcast. So it's no surprise that's right up in your wheelhouse.
So, well, I mean, I think we've bored everybody long enough. I do have one bet that I guarantee will be a winner. And it goes back to our earlier discussion. I just wanted to save it for the end. If you're in a Super Bowl party and you want to bet on commercials, the first commercial after kickoff will be for an Anheuser-Busch product. Now, last year, that was Michelob Amberbach, which is an Anheuser-Busch product. But first commercial after kickoff, it will be an Anheuser-Busch product. Get it out there as soon as you walk in the door, because you know that'll hit.
Write it down on your flip chart or your big piece of paper. Yeah, that's a good one. And hey, don't sleep on that. Will this commercial have a baby bet? There's a lot of babies in commercials nowadays. And so that's a lot of fun. Well, James, I think that was a pretty damn good podcast about gambling. It, you know, we didn't devolve into matrices and tables and things like that. Although I'm sure you very well could have walked us through it. So, any final thoughts? Right now, as we're a little bit more than a week out from the big game.
Man, if you find yourself in Vegas, you know, whether it's this week or next week or, you know, next year, and one of the most intimidating places to walk up to is the sports book. It's like them and the craps table are like the two places people are like, I really want to go, but I don't have the confidence to go there. You know, don't worry about it. Like, you know, don't go on Sunday at, you know, 5 minutes to kickoff and expect a very warm welcome when you don't know what you're doing. But go up there on, you know, like a Thursday or a Friday, sometime when there's not a lot of action going on, you know, early afternoon, walk up to the ticket window. You know, they'll give you a bet sheet. They'll walk you through the whole process. At least a good place will. And, you know, don't be intimidated by it. Just go have some fun. And remember that as long as you have an active ticket, you can sit there and they will bring you drinks. It can turn out to even be cheaper than penny slots.
And there we go. That is great work. All right, everybody. That's going to do it for this episode of the Next Fan Up podcast. Follow us on Twitter at NFU Podcast. If you want some last-minute gambling advice, go ahead and hit us up there. You can shoot us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can check out the website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. I wonder if anybody was betting on whether or not I would flub it. Always take the over on me flubbing. I do not have the best control over my mouth. Other than that, James, you have yourself a great weekend. Are you going to watch the Pro Bowl this weekend?
I will not be watching the Pro Bowl, no. I have literally anything else to do.
Yeah, that's about how I feel. I would rather just stare at my TV with it off rather than watch that travesty that is the Pro Bowl. So for that, for me, for the Next Man Up, for James, we are out.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.